One man says that Donald Trump is all that stands between us and the insanity of today's new left. That's next.
On the day of its 70th birthday, we saw this unbelievable gift that was given
yes,
to Israel.
Amen.
And that gift was the United States of America, the economic and military superpower of the earth, designating that Jerusalem is your capital.
Today on Understanding the Times Radio, we present part two of a two-part series with Michelle Bachmann. Michelle represented Minnesota's 6th District from 2006 to 2015 and ran for President of the United States in 2012. The progressive left seems to be at war with America, with Christianity, with conservatives, and with truth. This hour, Michelle Bachmann and Jan Markell continue their discussion on this dilemma as the 2020 campaign has begun and progressives are not being quiet about their ideology. Here are Jan Markell and Michelle Bachmann.
Listen to how crazy these people are. We're going to eliminate straws to save the wealth, but infanticide of human beings is a right, a choice between a mother and a doctor. No, it's not. I just want to say one thing before we go to the President of the United States. Thank you. Thank you for being a statesman. What you've done in Israel will be remembered for 1,000 years. The Golan Heights, moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, taking on the terrorists in Hamas and the Palestinian Liberation Organization office you closed and the PLA, shredding the Iran deal, which was a threat to the United States as well as our allies, the Gulf Arab states and the Israelis too. Honestly, we have 4 Democrats running for president: Elizabeth Warren, Julian Castro, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris. None of them will speak at AIPAC, which is a moderate left-of-center organization that supports Israel. That's how hardcore the Democrats have become, anti-Israel. And when they have an anti-Semite among them, they can't even pass a resolution specifically condemning the anti-Semite by name. And yet, the number 3 Democrat in the House of Representatives, yet again in that party, compared the President of the United States to Adolf Hitler.
And welcome to the program. I know that was a little bit, well, Mark Levin is a kind of an enthusiastic guy, and he really believes in what he's saying, as does this program and your host and my guest again for part two of my two-part series with Michelle Bachmann, who represented Minnesota's 6th District from 2006 to 2015. Michelle lives with me here in the Twin Cities area, and Michelle, somehow we survived the winter of the century. I don't know how we did it, but we did it. Spring couldn't come soon enough this year. Thank you for coming back to the studio for part two of this little series that we're running, and we're Resurrection Weekend here.
Amen.
Of course, that's a glorious time of year for every Christian, but we've got a number of things yet because we couldn't get to them last week. I want to start out with kind of the most pressing issue, maybe the most pressing this hour anyway. And you said to me, and quite frankly, Amir Sarfati said it a couple weeks ago on air with me as well, Donald Trump is probably a shoo-in as a reelected president in 2020, unless he starts messing with God's covenant land of Israel. You have been speaking to that cause. As a matter of fact, you shared with me some incredible smaller conversations you've had with people in very high places. You're certainly free to name them if you want. You even went as far as to share Bill Koenig's book, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. You and I both have some concerns about a forthcoming deal in the Middle East. You've had some private conversations, some public conversations. Just expand a little bit on your comment that it certainly will sink Donald Trump if, in fact, he starts messing with Jerusalem, divides the land, throws Israelis off the land. Talk to me a little bit about this.
Yeah, and happy Easter to all of the listeners today. This is a glorious weekend, and it's a thrilling weekend to be able to talk about this particular subject. My heart has been very heavy in recent weeks on this issue of the president's Middle East peace plan, because I agree, and I have felt this all along, that Genesis 12:3 is being fulfilled in front of our eyes, mm-hmm. that those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. I was in Washington, D.C. when the Mueller report was released. It cleared Donald Trump, and it was exactly at the moment that Donald Trump had recognized Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. He made the exact right move at the exact right time, because the Iranian terrorists and also terrorists in Syria are trying to use the Golan as their base of attacking Israel. And they're also trying to use that as a supply line for Hezbollah, which is in southern Lebanon and also backed by Iran. This is a full frontal attack by Iran against the Jewish people in Israel. Donald Trump, again, came out at exactly the right time. Just as he took Jerusalem as Israel's capital off the table for discussion by saying that the United States would recognize Jerusalem, so too he took the issue of sovereignty over the Golan Heights, a very strategic piece of real estate, off the table by having the United States recognize that sovereignty. In other words, it's no longer up for discussion whether or not Jerusalem is Israel's capital. It is. We say it is, and it's not for discussion. The same with the Golan Heights. Also, the U.S. State Department policy now is that Judea and Samaria, the biblical lands in Israel, are not occupied territory.
Amen.
It is Israel's territory. That is off the table. These are the significant issues, that including the issue of so-called right of return by Arabs to Israel. Those issues are off the table. The big issues have already been addressed by President Trump. He is in an incredible position when it comes to Israel, as well as what Mark Levin. I agree with every word Mark Levin said. He talked about Donald Trump tearing up the Iran agreement, which was the worst thing that could have been done by Barack Obama. He enriched Israel's most powerful enemy, which the Ayatollah wrote a book that said within 25 years, we will annihilate the Jewish people and Israel. How much more pronounced could you be with your intention to commit genocide against the Jewish people? And yet that's who Barack Obama gave $150 billion plus to. Donald Trump has the best bona fides ever of putting the United States in a path of blessing when it comes to our response toward Israel. But the one thing that could hurt the United States and could hurt the Trump presidency, because the Bible's very clear, God is not partial. What he does for one, he does for all. So the Bible is clear. If anyone touches the boundaries of Israel, if anyone touches the land or seeks to divide the land, or if anyone touches Jerusalem or divides Jerusalem, that person or that nation also will be divided. There will be negative consequences. So half of Genesis 12 is that if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. We've seen that with Donald Trump. But also, if you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. And the scripture is very clear. If you divide the land, or if you put pressure on Israel to divide the people from the land, or if you touch Jerusalem, there will be negative consequences. So if President Trump would reveal a Middle East peace plan that divides the people from the land or pressures Israel or touches Jerusalem, I believe that that action could be sufficient to deny him a second term. It is that serious and that profound, because if there is anything that is consistent through scripture from Genesis to Revelation, it's that God has Israel. His strong right arm protects them, and he will cover his people and cover his land, and no one will thwart his will. That has been the uppermost on my mind, and God opened a door of opportunity for me to be able to speak directly, one-on-one, with the highest leaders in our country on this particular issue. And I didn't know that the Lord would open up that door. I'd been praying about it, and God opened it, and I had the ability to speak with them. And so as I was praying about it, I decided to take Bill Koenig's book with me, which is called Eye to Eye. Bill was a former White House correspondent. He had been there for decades, one of the only Christians that was in the White House correspondence pool. And he noticed this odd phenomena that whenever a leader, whether it's an Israeli leader, an American leader, or any leader, made a decision or pronouncement that was about dividing the land or separating the people of the land or touching Jerusalem, that something negative, terribly negative, in many
extremely
cases
negative,
catastrophic,
in some cases catastrophic,
happened quite often within about a 24-hour period. I mean, almost simultaneously. And so he wrote this book that itemized and documented this happening.
Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. Folks, you can find it at Bill Koenig's website, watch.org, amazon.com. Those would be the primary places to get the book. But you're right. And I've had Bill on air 24 times, and I think 6 or 7 of my conferences in the spring and fall that I've had. And yes, I think he is the most articulate spokesman for the consequences of what happens when we try to strike up these deals, which is in the making. We just don't know the details. What was the result when you started sharing some of the Bill Koenig insights?
The result is that I was able to lay out on the table the scripture. I laid out the scripture from Genesis and Obadiah and Romans 11. I laid the scripture out and I was very clear. I said, I'm not speaking politically. I'm speaking biblically, because the president can have whatever plan that he wants to put out, but ultimately God's will prevail, because God will be the one who protects the people and the land and the capital of Jerusalem. And there are only downsides, negative sides to touching it. We can have whatever idea we want, but God will ultimately prevail. After we had that meeting, the people around the table unanimously agreed with me, who came in with me to this meeting. And then afterwards, I had two copies of Bill Koenig's book, and I prayed, who should I give it to? And so I went up to two of the top leaders, and I shared with them what was in the book, that the documentation was contained. I said, look, I know you're terribly busy. You don't have time to read. If you would just read chapter one, that gives the scriptural basis, but it also gives the documented basis of what happens. And this is very real and it's very serious. And I know these individuals from past interactions that I've had with them. So I had that ability to give it to them. I also had the ability to sit down with an individual who has direct, continual contact with the President of the United States. I invited Bill Koenig for an hour-long meeting to that particular meeting. We laid it all out again. Bill agreed to write a two-page executive summary on his book. And that individual took all of that information and was going to make it available to the decision makers. After that, just this last weekend, I had the occasion to be back in Washington, D.C. with an individual that the President of the United States talks to on an almost continual basis. I was able to share that concern also about the president revealing a Middle East peace plan that may potentially put negative pressure on Israel to divide the people from the land. That individual told me that he did go to the president and talk to him about it. We had contact with that individual again this weekend, asked if he would again continue to press this issue, not leave it at just a one time only, but continue to press the president. So this is my ask of your audience. This is where all of us come in. We can't even begin to comprehend how powerful our prayers are before a holy God. And so I would ask everyone in your audience to agree in prayer and unite in prayer that the Lord would speak through the power of his Holy Spirit to the heart and mind of the President of the United States, that no matter what recommendation the president's advisors bring to him, whether for good or for ill, when it comes to the boundaries of Israel, to the people of Israel, to the land, and to Jerusalem, that the President of the United States would stand four square and full force biblically, that no Middle East plan would touch the biblical lands, or would touch the current boundary of Israel, or would touch Jerusalem. That's what we need to pray, that the President of the United States would hear from heaven, and his actions in presenting a Middle East peace plan, either that he wouldn't present one at all, which I think would be the best course of action, or to present one that would in no way pressure the Jewish people to separate from the land or from Jerusalem. We have a president who I believe will listen. I have been told by one of his strongest advisors that one thing that the president will do ultimately, he wants to do what's righteous. That's what I have been told. Now, that's what we need to pray, that he would be a man who wants to do righteous. And we have 2 years of evidence that that's exactly what he's done, when it's been to persecution of Christians, when it's been about preserving innocent human life, when it's been about dealing with Israel. He's, in every instance, he has done what is righteous. And so now I think this is the biggest peril in front of him in the next 2 years.
Yes.
That his advisors, some of his advisors, may have a different idea about Israel and the Middle East peace plan.
I guarantee you some of his advisors have other ideas, other intent. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here in studio with me for a 2-week series is Michelle Bachman. She represented Minnesota's 6th District for a number of years, stepped down in 2015, has been, frankly, I think, called to an even greater ministry in the years since she stepped down. Amazing open door. She's serving at the United Nations. She's an ambassador to everyone at the UN getting the gospel out. And Michelle, there's something that happened, and it's time tying this in with what you just shared, because both you and I were changed literally for life in 1974, both of us. We were both young people, obviously. That's some years ago now. We both went to Israel in 1974. First time. I didn't know what I was doing, but my life was turned absolutely upside down. I believe yours was as well.
It was. I went to Israel in 1974 as a believer in Jesus Christ, but I was about 18, I guess, and I went to work on a kibbutz. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I learned two things. One is that the Bible is real and the Bible is true. It's in front of you everywhere. You can't be in Israel and not understand and appreciate that the Bible is true. The other thing I learned is that I was home. When I went to Israel, I felt like I was truly home, because that is our spiritual home. This is where God has his throne. And there is something that's intangible that you can't even put into words about being there. And that's why I would encourage every one of your listeners, if you can go to Israel, go to Israel for yourself. You will also be changed, like Jan and I were changed by going there. But I would also say that for many of you who it's no longer possible to go, maybe physically or financially, if you can encourage or send your grandchild or your child to Israel, help them to go, because you want to have this truth of Scripture put into the life of a young person. That's when you want them to experience this change in their own life. And I will tell you, I haven't talked to anyone who's ever gone to Israel that hasn't experienced this transformation, this change within them, that there's something about Israel. Well, the something is that God chose a certain people to have a certain land for the purpose of being a blessing to the nations. That's what happens when you're there. You're walking in the truth of his word. And so for every single person who's listening, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's the whole purpose of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, is to awaken the church, to fill the command of Scripture, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It seems like a nothing, throwaway line, doesn't it? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, yeah, of course we want peace. Who doesn't want peace? This is a command of Holy Scripture, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because the Prince of Peace rules from his throne in Jerusalem. And it's imperative that we walk out and fulfill that Scripture.
And I was called into ministry when I went there in 1974. Standing on the Sea of Galilee, I distinctively had a call to go into full-time Christian ministry, which, you know, the rest is history. That took place because I went out on a limb and went to Israel as a young person in 1974. Both Michelle and I were there. I don't think we bumped into each other. You know, you can go through Behold Israel, Amir Sarfati's group. He brings young people there on a yearly basis, beholdisrael.org, if you'd like that information. As far as Michelle's suggestion that you perhaps send children or grandchildren if you're not able to go. I know lots of people in their senior years who are going to Israel, though, Michelle, lots of them.
It's very possible. You can get there. You know, when you and I went in 1974, for Israel was a third world country. One thing I remember is you couldn't find an ice cube anywhere in the country. Not today. Today, Israel is a first world country in almost every way, equal to the United States. And it's my belief that within our lifetime, Israel will become the only first world plus country in the world. It will be almost like, you know, when you're in Disneyland, every single inch is perfectly manicured and clean. I think at some point, that's what Israel is going to be like. It's very close.
Israel just declared the eighth most powerful nation in the world. Think about that, folks.
That's right.
70 years ago, 71 years ago, she didn't even exist. Folks were certainly there, but she wasn't an established nation. In 70 years, you talk about the fulfillment of the Bible.
Yeah.
In 70 years, talk about the fulfillment of his promises. We're in a generation that's seeing the fulfillment of God's promises in the Bible so fast we can hardly keep track of them.
Well, that's true, because the Scripture said that Israel would be uninhabitable.
That
it'd be a wilderness and uninhabitable. And it was. It was literally
uninhabitable. Mark Twain said there's not even a cactus here.
That's right. There is nothing. And in that time, the climate has changed by design, because millions of trees were planted.
Right.
And it's now some of the finest farmland anywhere in the world. You just can't believe how it's been transformed. It is that idea of the fulfillment of Scripture, that when Israel first began, it was uninhabitable back in 1948. Today, 70 years have been fulfilled. Israel's now over 70 years old. So that is the lifespan of a man, according to Scripture.
Yeah.
So,
Psalm 90.
So coming up to those first 70 years, Israel's foreign policy had to be based on a defensive posture, because it was in a weakened, growing state, like a child coming into its full development. On the absolute birthday, on the day of its 70th birthday, we saw this unbelievable gift that was given to Israel.
Amen.
And that gift was the United States of America, the economic and military superpower of the earth, designating that Jerusalem is your capital, taking that off the table. As of today, it is my opinion, from a foreign policy point of view, if I was the prime minister of Israel, Israel is now in a position of strength. It is at its full manhood. It is in a position of strength. It is not operating from a position of weakness. It is in a position of the strong right arm of the Lord their God. In fact, I've been with Benjamin Netanyahu when he has said, our foreign policy is miracles. And Amen. It remains miracles. Yes. And so now we see Israel in a position of strength, and God will be their protector and defender from a position of strength.
Well, here's where I want to go. I want to ask you a couple of questions in our second segment. This is a two-part series, folks, and this is airing on Resurrection Weekend. But I want to ask you, because we've talked a lot about President Donald Trump in the last weekend, this week, and if you could sit down with him literally face-to-face for an hour over a cup of tea, just what would you talk to him about? Now, obviously, some of the things we've just talked about, you would be first on your list, but let's go beyond that, because you said to me privately that one of the things that's really a burden with you is the repealing this whole Common Core situation. So I want to talk to you about what you would talk to him about if you had the opportunity, and I think you have had some opportunity. We'll do that when we get back, folks. Another place I want to go, what happened to Judge Jeanine Pirro a few weeks ago? Honestly, this was a travesty. We're going to give you some inside information on what happened. Judge Jeanine is a regular on Fox News on the weekend. We'll talk about it in just a couple of minutes.
We want to hear from you. Does programming like this help you understand the times and be watchmen on the wall? You can write to us at Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can always reach us electronically at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can now text to give. Check our website for details. Jan and Michelle return in just a minute.
Olive Tree Ministries is carrying a new book by Douglas Stauffer and Andrew Ray, Reviving the Blessed Hope of Thessalonians. I did not think I would see the day when we would have to have a discussion about reviving our hope in the rapture of the church. Something that has to be revived has often expired, and yes, discussion of the pre-trib rapture of the church has been on life support. Find this excellent book in our store at olivetreeviews.org, in our print and e-newsletter, or you can call us Central Time, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. This ministry is committed to helping the entire church to keep looking up and expecting His return, even if vast portions of the church have little interest in doing that. We will keep reminding you that the trumpet and the shout could happen even today, and I promise you, you don't want to be left behind. Check out Reviving the Blessed Hope today.
Twitter banned from the Twitter pages any advertising for this pro-life movie, Unplanned. Then after the movie came out and did well at the box office, the week after, they also banned any following of this movie, Unplanned.
Christians and conservatives are having fewer and fewer platforms to present their views and ideology. It's now a world controlled by big tech that does not look favorably on our beliefs. Where you can get solid information is our website, olivetreeviews.org. There you will find daily headlines and other articles, a convenient online store, conference information, videos, 2 years of radio programming, and more. This program is posted to our website as well as oneplace.com and our YouTube channel early Saturday morning. Now back to Jan Markell and Michelle Bachman.
Fox News is condemning one of its own anchors, Jeanine Pirro, after comments made during her show Saturday night. Pirro questioned Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's allegiances because Omar wears a head covering. Listen to this.
Think about it. Omar wears a hijab, which according to the Quran 33:59 tells women to cover so they won't get molested. Is her adherence to this Islamic doctrine indicative of her adherence to Sharia law, which in itself is antithetical to the United States Constitution?
After that, Fox spoke out, rebuking her, condemning her words. Joining me right now is Chief Media Correspondent Brian Stelter, host of Reliable Sources, of course. So Jeanine Pirro saying out there things, that is not new. Fox News speaking out and condemning very clearly what she said. That is new.
Yes. Even though she wrote this, it was put in the teleprompter, producers must have seen it ahead of time, Fox News did take a stand against her. She's not apologizing, but the network's trying to distance itself from her by saying they strongly condemn what she said on the air, by saying it does not reflect the views of the network, and they say it's been addressed with her. Unclear how it's been addressed, but it's been discussed with her. I think that means maybe next week she'll say something on the air about this. But look, Fox News has gone back time and time again to the idea of fear of Muslims, fear of minorities. It's a part of their business model, not on the run-of-the-mill talk shows, but certainly on the pro-Trump talk shows like Jeanine Pirro's.
But again, networks make choices all the time, right? You make a choice to give someone real estate an hour or more of TV every week. And if it doesn't go beyond, I mean, the statement has been dealt with directly. If it doesn't go beyond that one statement, what does that mean?
I think it means they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to have her on the air spewing this venom all the time, but they also want to keep just enough distance so that advertisers don't get uncomfortable. And that is probably the overarching issue here. Fox is having a big event for advertisers this week, and yet they're embroiled in two controversies.
And welcome back. Well, we're going to talk about that for the next few minutes anyway. A number of us, this is some weeks ago now, back in mid-March, I believe, Judge Jeanine actually made some of the statements that you just heard. It was a lot longer than that. And she was censored by Fox News. Now, a lot of us are fairly loyal to Fox because they cover the news a little bit more fairly than some of the MSNBC, CNN, ABC, NBC crowd, which is full-time bash Trump. They are literally obsessed with bashing Donald Trump. We've just spent a program and a half talking about his accomplishments, his loyalty to Israel, the fact that America will be blessed as long as we remain Israel's staunch ally and friend, and a little bit of comparison on what the previous administration did as it concerns God's covenant land and people compared to the current administration. So when Judge Jeanine made a comment about Minnesota's Representative Omar, she was promptly removed from air for a couple of weeks. Folks, if you missed part one, get it on my website or our YouTube channel. It's the Jan Markell YouTube channel or olivetreeviews.org. Views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org. Go to radio, complete archives, and just 2 years of programming posted there. If you want to go to oneplace.com, there's about 10 years of programming posted at oneplace.com. So, Michelle, I just want to touch on this for a few minutes because a lot of us were horrified when this happened to Judge Jeanine. You have some insights that are just, well, they're precious.
Well, I think a lot of people don't realize how this came about. Actually, it was an associate producer that called out Judge Jeanine. Now, this is remarkable in itself. Here you have a network and an employee at the network, an associate producer on a different show, not even Judge Jeanine's show. This associate producer was a Muslim, and the Muslim tweeted out at one of the talent people at Fox in an audacious tweet. She said, "You have Muslims working at the same network you do." Judge Jeanine wasn't taking a shot at Muslims, but this associate producer went after the talent, Judge Jeanine. And she wrote, "Judge Jeanine, can you stop spreading this false narrative that somehow Muslims hate America or women who wear a hijab aren't American enough?" And the associate producer's name is Hafsa Kamal Khan. She wrote this on Twitter. She said, "You have Muslims working at the same network you do, including myself. Okay, thanks." That's what she wrote. So if you're an employee, that'd be like somebody who was tweeting at the big top talent at CBS News or NBC. Normally, the employee would be fired. They would be taken out because you're coming against the product that the network is trying to sell. Instead, Fox News got behind the Muslim employee who tweeted against Judge Jeanine. And the network said, Fox News said, "We strongly condemn Jeanine Pirro's comments about Representative Ilhan Omar. They do not reflect those of the network, and we have addressed the matter with her directly." And as you know, she was thrown off the air for 2 weeks. But what was it that Judge Jeanine said? What she said, again, and you've played that, is that she was asking a question, and she asked a question that is true. The question that she asked is whether or not by Ilhan Omar wearing the hijab, which is noted in the Quran that a woman is supposed to wear a covering on her head so she won't get molested. And all she did is ask the question, does this kind of give us an idea that this representative adheres to Sharia law, Islamic law, because Islamic law is antithetical. In other words, it's opposed to the U.S. Constitution. That's a fact. Islamic Sharia law is not compatible with the U.S. Constitution. This is a very simple, non-controversial question. But when it came to Fox News, they were willing to stand with their Muslim associate producer employee and throw their talent under the bus who is asking a truthful question. It was absolutely shocking what happened at Fox News.
Well, Fox is in transition. I think we all know that. That began some 3-4 years ago. Brigitte Gabriel has told me she's marginalized on Fox. I haven't even seen her in the last year, but I think they marginalized her new book as well. The Murdoch sons have taken over. They're taking it far left, and this was almost inevitable. But Michelle, this takes us, I think, to the greater question, and that is, where can your average Christian/conservative Christian listener get some of their news and information? The sources are getting fewer and fewer and fewer.
Right.
Not only
that,
but then you've got social media pushing back. If our listeners are getting their news on Facebook, on Twitter, on various places, Instagram, lots of online sources. Again, the news is slanted or the truth is withheld. And you and I are just concerned that the sources that we can go to for the truth, it's kind of getting down to a few online sources. Certainly Christian radio is a great place for truth. But this is a great concern to both you and me. And then you've got the powerhouses, Google and others, really pushing back.
It is. This is a huge issue. You know, we talked about the two consequences of the 2018 election and the two factors being the mainstreaming of radical socialism, the other one being censorship. And the censorship, it's really an odd censorship because the internet has been taken over and is dominated by Google, Facebook, then you have Twitter, you have Apple.
Right.
So we talked about these multi-billionaire cabals. That's a part of the multi-billionaire cabals. The people who really are in control of the communications industry in the United States have made a decision that there's only going to be one view that's allowed. And so we're seeing censorship and after censorship after censorship of voices that don't conform to this absolutely liberal view. I'll give you one example that just happened. This new movie came out, Unplanned. It's a pro-life movie, and it exposes the deeds of darkness of Planned Parenthood and
the evils of
abortion. Oh, incredible film.
Get the DVD, folks. If you missed the film, get the DVD when it comes out.
It's absolutely wonderful. But yet, the week before the film was about to come out, Twitter banned from the Twitter pages any advertising for this pro-life movie, Unplanned. Then after the movie came out and did well at the box office, the week after, they also banned any following of this movie, Unplanned. This is just one example. We see this over and over and over. If you've got a conservative website or if you've got a conservative individual that's trying to speak, it began with Alex Jones, actually, in August of 2018. We've seen Facebook, Twitter, Apple, Google. They've all been not selling ads. They've been refusing to sell ads to conservative or Christian organizations, or they refuse to put their information up, or they redirect viewers to websites that have the wrong information. An article just came up that several of the congressional races in California were impacted because Google and Facebook and Apple redirected traffic to false sources of information as opposed to what the candidates really believed. I mean, this is serious business because now our communication is online primarily.
That's right.
And so the manipulation that's going on really takes us again to Bible prophecy. How could the world get to the point where the scripture says that even the very elect could be deceived? How could that be possible? It's possible when we're told lies nonstop and we're not allowed to have the truth. That's what we're moving at in a way that we've never seen before because our communications are increasingly controlled by fewer and fewer multi-billionaires.
And then half the news that comes out is fake news.
Right. That's why I think, again, we live in this false world of what we see on TV, what we see on cable news primarily, and what we hear on the radio, what we see on the internet. There's very little little of it that we can trust. So you've got to go to trusted sources. Yeah. Who do you trust? A Jan Markell you trust. So you go to Jan Markell. You go to her website. You see the headlines that she's posting because she's already gone through them. There's different websites that you can go to. But I think, again, your listeners have heard this analogy before. The best way to know what a counterfeit is mm-hmm. to know what's true. So if you know your Bible, if you know what prophecy says, then we can recognize when it comes what the evil one wants to do in our time and also what our response is supposed to be in our time. That doesn't lead us to despair. It leads us to rejoice that the word of God is true and trustworthy Amen. And it's being fulfilled in our midst.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here, having a 2-week series with one of your favorites. At least that's what emails and letters tell me. Michelle Bachman. She served Minnesota's 6th District for a number of years, starting in 2006. You may know she ran for president in 2012, and I keep encouraging her to write a book on that experience because it was indeed quite an unusual happening for a woman from the Midwest. I think I want to transition just a little bit here, Michelle, and I gave a little comment in my first segment that if you could spend 20 minutes or half an hour with President Donald Trump, and we've just spent almost 2 programs talking about some of his accomplishments, and we'd be the first to acknowledge that he certainly is a flawed man, as every one of us are. But you've certainly elaborated on a number of his accomplishments. You even said in the first program that in 2 years he may have accomplished more than Ronald Reagan and his administration. So if you could spend some private time with him, you told me privately that you consider Common Core to be common socialism, and it's time that that institution of education known as Common Core go. What else would you tell him if you could spend some time?
Well, uppermost on my mind right now is what we talked about in our previous
right.
show, and that's the Middle East peace deal.
Right.
That the president doesn't get hoodwinked into doing something that would be, I think, fatal for his presidency and certainly dangerous for the United States if he would do anything to touch the land or Jerusalem or pressure the Jewish people of Israel. That's number one. I think the second thing, though, is to look at the big things. How is it that our society has changed mm-hmm. so dramatically in the last 50 years of our lifetime, or certainly in the last 5 years and 10 years, but the society has changed in a big way. That's what the left is focused mm-hmm. on, not little things. The political liberal left has focused on the huge things, and the way that they've been able to achieve all of these unprecedented successes to the point of even demanding that little newborn babies not right. be declared a boy or a girl. I mean, where would that ever come from? How could we get to that point? The reason why we were able to get to this point is because the left understood, don't waste your time on older people. Focus on the younger people. And so they have focused relentlessly on teaching socialism and teaching anti-Americanism to little children through the greatest vehicle that there was, which was the public schools. The public schools historically were used to assimilate new immigrants into America. The American way was taught. We were taught that we had tremendous heroes in the United States, that the United States was the greatest country in the world, unlike former Attorney General Eric Holder, who said America's never been great. Absolutely, we've been great. That would be the number one thing that I would press on the president, that if you want to change the United States of America, you've got to change the education system. That's how I got started in politics. I was a mom at home minding my own business. I had 5 biological kids. I had 23 foster kids. And I saw the nonsense that came home in the backpack. And that's what led me to get involved in politics in the first place, because I knew America couldn't survive if this trash, these lies were being taught to our kids. And that has only gone on. Every year, another class that have gone through 12 years of indoctrination in socialism, they're now unleashed into the United States. And it explains why in 2016, Bernie Sanders, an avowed known socialist, right. received 2/3 of the vote of those that were under age 40. Well, that's because through school, they learned socialism. So President Donald Trump needs to work to repeal what is known as Common Core. That's the federal government takeover of the curriculum in the public school classroom. But then I think he needs to go further. I think that he needs to give true choice in education to every American family so that every American family can have the money and the means. Just take all the money that we spend at the federal government level and divide it up between each child in America and let the parents use that money, and they can choose to put their child in any school they want, whether it's a private school or a public school. They at least have a choice. I would also recommend that they put online, if you want to call it the Department of Education, just have what we used to have in America, the traditional scope and sequence, because here's the dirty little secret. Prior to 1993, America's public school kids were taught knowledge, facts, and information. It was pretty objective and it was pretty basic. After 1993, knowledge and facts and information were kicked out of the public school door. And instead, kids have been taught attitudes, values, and beliefs that are politically correct and sanctioned by the federal government. Well, this is wrong. This is in violation of what many families believe. Our schools aren't indoctrination centers. Quite honestly, that's the big thing. And if there is one thing that would change America, it would be to change the public schools of America. And to do that, we have to be also very big in our thinking, and that's to give parents the choice, not the teachers' unions, not really the educational establishment in D.C., the power. We need to empower parents. That would do more to turn around America than anything else. This isn't going to change on a dime. Again, the left took the long view. They began in the 60s, rewriting the curriculum and taking over the public schools to advance the leftist Marxist cause. Right. They've been wildly successful, and all of culture followed what was taught in the public schools. We need to begin there.
Well, they've got some candidates that are running in 2020, Michelle. They're standing for some incredibly awful issues. It's kind of a lineup of kooks, anti-Semites, anti-American men and women, anti-Israel, pro-evil candidates running in 2020 that is just frightening. I mean, Donald Trump is probably a shoo-in unless he makes a misstep in the Middle East, which we've already covered. Anyway, I'm just concerned.
No, you're right about that.
I mean, they've moved so far left. They moved into kook category.
Well, they've moved into Venezuela category.
Yeah, Venezuela category.
You know, here you have an entirely beautiful nation disassembling front of our eyes.
And we want to be it.
And if only CBS, NBC, ABC would put their cameras
exactly.
The streets of Venezuela.
Yeah, where they're eating pets and zoo animals. Come on, folks.
And that's a good day if they've
that's
even
a
got
good day
that.
If they've got
they
that.
Are literally starving to death, and millions of people are running out of that country because they can't eat, and the oppression that these people are under. That's exactly, those laws are exactly what Bernie Sanders and AOC
all
and,
of them.
And nearly the entire
almost
lineup,
the entire lineup.
Of the Democrat candidates running for president, that's what they're advocating
that's
for.
Exactly
so
right.
They want a fantasy economics that has never happened anywhere in the world where it's worked. It's happened in Russia and China and in Venezuela, but it's brought absolute human carnage.
Well,
death and
they
misery.
They think it's going
it.
To work here for some
reason.
No, well,
reason. It won't work here.
Of course it won't.
Because
but
they
their,
don't care if it
their
works.
In their mixed up mind, they think it's going to work
they
here,
they don't
folks.
Care if it works. They only want their ideas implemented. And they're the willing puppets and stooges to run
they're
with
the
that agenda.
They're the useful idiots. They're the useful idiots. Every country's got to have useful idiots. Folks, we're going to wrap up our discussion in the next couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Understanding the Times Radio is now airing on well over 800 radio stations. Additionally, we have a substantial electronic audience listening on oneplace.com, on our website, and on YouTube. Electronic programming for our weekend program is always posted early Saturday morning. You can have it downloaded to your devices if you sign up for the oneplace.com mobile app. We return to Jan and Michelle in a moment. Why not save the date of Saturday, September 21 for Understanding the Times 2019? Tickets go on sale June 1st for $25 and include lunch. We will be selling general admission seats only and no assigned seating. Speakers this year include Dr. Robert Jeffress, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Jan Markell. They will help you understand the times and become watchmen on the wall. Location once again is Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. The teaching is timely and the fellowship is unparalleled as you make friends for life. Save the date and visit our website's conference page for a list of hotels and other pertinent information. That's olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. We hope to meet thousands of you September 21, just outside of Minneapolis.
You
have the ability to be a living letter by focusing on how God wants to use you, every single one of us, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in scripture reading, whether it's in praising God. We all have something we can do. We cannot even begin to imagine how God uses us in our sphere of influence.
Let us know how this program affects your life and walk with the Lord. Write us at Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can send us a tax-deductible gift online at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can also text to give now, consult our website, or call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Let's get back to Jan Markell and Michelle Bachman.
Is that we can have national voting, and that means get rid of the Electoral College.
I think that it's, I'm open to the discussion. I mean, there's no question that the popular vote has been diminished in terms of making the final decision about who's the president of the United States, and we need to deal with that.
Would you support getting rid of the Electoral College?
Absolutely. It's got to go.
I myself have always been for lowering the voting age to 16. I think it's really important to capture kids when they're in high school, when they're interested in all of this.
What if there were five justices selected by Democrats? Five justices selected by Republicans, and those 10 then pick five more justices independent of those who chose the first 10.
Welcome back. We've had a two-week discussion about things going on in our nation's capital, about forthcoming 2020 election, some of the candidates. We've talked some Middle East issues. We've talked some inside information because my guest for 2 weeks, Michelle Bachman, has been able to have some inside discussions with people in some high places and I think have a great influence. She's even shared some of the insights of our good friend, White House correspondent Bill Koenig in his book, Eye to Eye, The Consequences of Dividing Israel. So we're wrapping up the two-week discussion. If you missed part one, best place to get it, either on our YouTube channel under Jan Markell or on my website, olivetreeviews.org. Go to Complete Archives, olivetreeviews.org, to hear what we talked about in part one. And we're wrapping up part two today. Again, follow us on social media. We post images now on our YouTube channel, so you're going to be able to see what we're talking about on the YouTube channel. That's found under Jan Markell. Find us on Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries, Twitter, Olive Tree Men, Instagram. We've got incredible Instagram, Olive Tree Ministries. When you write to us, would you always tell us how you listen? Maybe you're a podcaster. Maybe you're listening on your iPad. Maybe you're listening on one of our 830 stations. Let us know, because that helps the office here better understand exactly how we're spending our ministry dollars and how effective they can be. All right, let's wrap up our two-week series with Michelle Bachman. Remember, she serves at the United Nations. You need to remember her in prayer there. She is co-chairman of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, which I think, Michelle, you had to have your arm twisted for both of these positions, correct? Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast and United Nations.
They're both an honor to do it.
And
I was highly honored to be able to do it. We hold the initial Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast in Jerusalem, always on June 6th. That's the date that Jerusalem was retaken by the Jewish people. So we will hold it in Jerusalem at the Orient Hotel. We're going all over the world now, holding Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. And our purpose, again, is to unite believers in every nation to fulfill the command, which is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem so that their nation, too, might receive the blessing as a sheep nation rather than a goat nation.
Right. But you did not really want to go to the United Nations. This is 2-3 years ago, because one of the things you like the least on the planet is United Nations.
Well, that's true.
God calls you to the United Nations.
He did. He did. I have never found much use for the United Nations. I felt like we should shut it down and pull the U.S. funding and kick them out of the United States. That was, if you want my honest opinion on what it was. But that's not God's view. God's view is that this is one of the most strategic places on earth to advance the gospel. So my heart was broken for that. And so I'm looking at the individuals that are there, not the aims of the organization.
Yeah.
I am looking at the individuals. angels to bring the redemptive value of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is having a profound impact. That's why the prayers of your listeners are having an incredible effect, both at the UN and with the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast.
And she gave illustrations of that last week, folks. You need to hear it. Get it on my website, or you can go to oneplace.com and access their archives as we air there as well. This is Resurrection Weekend, Michelle. It's a very special time for many of us who know that we serve a living God. We talked for quite a while before airing this broadcast. We want to leave folks encouraged, and we've talked about some crazy things. We've talked about some policies in Washington, some candidates that are running for office that it's hard to understand just where on earth are they getting some of these crazy ideas, but we don't want to leave people with that kind of a thought because we're living in times that were prophesied thousands of years ago in the Bible, and here we have the privilege of living them out. The writers of the Bible, both Old and New Testament, would have given anything to be in this generation.
That's exactly right.
This generation. Instead, people are looking at headlines and saying, woe is me, I don't want to be here because I can't even make a difference, which is crazy because we can make a difference. Look how you're making a difference. I hope I'm making a difference. We need to go out of these two programs encouraging people, particularly this particular weekend. And folks will listen all week long here and on the podcast and all, but let's do that. Let's encourage.
Amen. Because we are, again, we are living letters, each one of us. Once we are transformed and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we receive his forgiveness over our life, and we are born again, just as today, this is Resurrection Weekend, we are a new creation, and then we walk out and live out being a living letter. I was recently speaking in Norway. I gave the gospel on national TV for an hour, and while I was there, I learned about a Norwegian man named Hans Hauge, who just by his one life walked all across Norway during his time, and the nation was turned upside down because he preached the gospel. Those Norwegians, 840,000, came to America and established an ordered society based upon the precepts of the Holy Scripture, because one man was a living letter. Each one of us, everyone in your audience, has that ability. Whether you're bedridden, whether you can't leave your home, you have the ability to be a living letter by focusing on how God wants to use you. Every single one of us, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in Scripture reading, whether it's in praising God, we all have something we can do. We cannot even begin to imagine how God uses us in our sphere of influence. It may be one remark that we make to someone on the phone or to somebody in our family, but when we live for Christ, the whole world changes. That's what God asks of us. And I think here's the other thing. Don't ever for one moment despair about the day that we live in. Yes, society all around us doesn't look the way it did when we were children, but here's the good news. We are seeing the law and the prophets fulfilled in front of our eyes. Now more than ever, we should have more trust and more joy in the promises of God being fulfilled, because those promises are being fulfilled at an accelerated pace that we've never seen before in all of human history.
Absolutely.
We saw that we've had 5,000 years of recorded human history. We have the biblical narrative, but we have seen more prophecy fulfilled just in our lifetime than we have seen for thousands of years. And it's right over the horizon to have even more. So this is a time to rejoice in the God who loves us. In all of creation, archaeology finds are proving the truth of the gospel.
There was a new one.
A new one in the city of David that showed one of the clerks in the time of King Josiah exactly as the Bible said. So every archaeological find, every find has proved the Bible. Not one has disproved the Bible. So this is the time for the highest level of faith in the Word of God and the highest appointment that each one of us as believers have to be a living letter as we walk out our faith of the gospel and to trust the Lord that through the power of the Holy Spirit, He will use our poured out lives to advance His kingdom for His glory.
Folks, the stunning convergence of what's happening in the world is just that, stunning.
That's the story.
The convergence of what the Bible predicted, sometimes thousands of years ago. It outlined what would happen. It even outlined the sequence of how it would happen.
Right.
And it's all playing out.
On both sides. Playing out. Both in terms of the Antichrist and both in terms of what God would do. They are paralleling each other.
That's why we are a privileged generation. Yep, I would acknowledge it's a trying time. And sometimes looking at headlines can be a little bit troubling. But headlines are a herald of his coming, if you can see them in that perspective. And I know, Michelle, both you and I, and we have such a burden for the persecuted church, particularly in the Middle East and Africa. And I'm actually going to air a segment, I think it's next weekend, on the persecution of the Nigerian Christians.
I'm glad that you said that, because remember, we saw recently there were 49 innocent Muslims who were killed in New Zealand. The whole world focused on that tragedy. But at the same time, 200 Christians were killed in Nigeria. The world didn't hear anything about that. They were killed by Muslims.
Yeah.
So Muslims were killing Christians, and it made no difference. Four times as many.
Exactly.
And that is the story that we're living with today.
Yeah. So that's a real particular burden I have, is some of the persecuted Christians, and particularly, and again, next week, folks, we'll talk about it, for it's a short segment, but I want to bring it to your attention. Michelle's absolutely right. Whereas the event in New Zealand was tragic, it's going on many, many times over with no media coverage whatsoever. And these Christians in the Middle East and in Africa and other parts of the world are begging us for help, begging prayer, anything we can do to help them. Michelle, thank you for coming in. You've been in here two weekends. I appreciate it greatly. Again,
it's always a joy. I thank God that that's one thing that Donald Trump is trying to do, is particularly in Syria.
Amen.
He has people on the ground to provide a safe space for the Christians that remain.
Well, and it's interesting because the troop pullout from Syria didn't quite materialize the way
Donald Trump had said all troops were going to come out, and yet there was intervention from believers, and 1,000 were left specifically
to protect
the believers that are in Syria.
If you would like to attend the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast in early June of this year, visit jpb2019.org. That's jpb2019.org. To keep up with Michelle's other involvement at the United Nations and beyond, visit wellversedworld.com. That's wellversedworld.com. And I think on this resurrection weekend, it would be appropriate. I often close with this, but I'm going to do it again this weekend. When the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm, the stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early, he's never late, he's always right on time. His plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
This is a special time of year for all true Christ followers. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, died, and rose again some 2,000 years ago. The world will never be the same. We trust you know him as Lord and Savior. If not, what better time to make that decision than this resurrection time of year? If you do that, drop Jan a note at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or write us at Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Jesus Christ came the first time, but he's coming again. Always look up and await his return with us.